It's time for some financial advice, and who better to give it to us than Tommy Corbett of Carey Corbett Financial Solutions, who is in studio with me now. Good morning to you, Tommy.
Morning, Alan.
Thanks very much for joining us. Good to see you again for the first financial advice slot of the new year.
Yeah, absolutely. It's January, so we're looking forward to the new year ahead. I hope all the listeners are as well.
We do too. Yeah. Okay, so you want to talk about mortgages and advice around that. Is this something that tends to, I guess, be a big issue, certainly from Kerry Corbett's point of view at the start of the year, that people, you know, if they're thinking of getting a house or buying a house, that it tends to, the wheels are set in motion kind of towards the start of the year?
Yeah, I think, like a lot of us, we all make kind of New Year's resolutions, and one of those could be that, you know, maybe to trade up or buy your first house or something like that, or even an investment property. And as part of that process, then obviously then you need to look at how you're going to actually finance it. Yeah. And the majority of us then finance that through mortgages. So yeah, we would find an increase in inquiries in Kerry Corbett in January for mortgage advice and people thinking about doing, you know, going down that route. And I suppose what I would say, the biggest piece of advice, if anyone can take out of today, is to get prepared for it. You know what I mean? You need to present your case to the bank in as good a light as possible. And I would encourage them then to talk to a broker or a financial advisor that deal with the various banks on the Irish market in order for them to be able to be helped to prepare that case for presentation to the bank. It is very important because, you know, what we find is an awful lot of people go into their local bank that they've been dealing with for years, and they basically tell them everything, which is fine in one sense, but you don't need to tell them everything.
You're kind of playing your hand a bit too early.
Yeah, you're playing your hand a little bit too early, and sometimes they're not prepared well enough. And it could be something simple as something in their bank account that shouldn't be there that they need to take out, and okay, that kind of thing. And a broker will be able to go through all those things with you.
It just shows you that there is so much around buying a house, and this, you know, is a really, really timely follow-up to yesterday's legal advice slot with William Carr from Carr & Co Solicitors, who was talking about all the legal issues and considerations you need to be aware of around buying and selling a property, including mortgages. And there's, I know from buying a house, it's, you can, even in the preparatory work, you can think about all the things you need to know, and there will be other things that will come, yeah, up that you just couldn't possibly have known, particularly if you're buying a house for the first time. And yeah, it's the same with this advice that you're going to give us around mortgages.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, listen, when you're buying a house, you talk to your solicitor, and they will look after the legal aspects of it, and they are the experts in relation to that. And I would encourage people, if they're buying and they're looking for a mortgage, to talk to someone that's an expert when it comes to mortgages, not just go straight into their local bank. Again, even for simple things like the rate, is the rate that they're getting from the local bank the best that they can get? Different banks will have different offers, all that kind of stuff. So someone that's independent will be able to go through all that. Like your solicitor looks after your legal side of things, your mortgage broker will be able to do this. Look after the financial aspect of it as well.
Okay.
And it is well worth your while talking to someone like that.
Okay, you would be encouraging that as a broker.
Yeah, yeah, no, absolutely. But even things like the insurances around that, you know, yeah, what I mean? So sometimes, even if your bank is offering you the best rate on the market, which it may be, you know, they may not be offering you the best rate when it comes to your life insurance or your house insurance. So you have to be very careful in relation to all those things. And I think taking a step back and, as I said, getting advice could save you a lot of money in the long run.
Okay, so before we get into, Tommy, to the specific questions in relation to what people will need to know when it comes to getting a mortgage, to get a mortgage in this country, what are the general things or steps that you need to follow?
Yeah, so I suppose, first of all, you need to be employed or self-employed. You have to have an income, basically. Yeah. And after that, then, there's kind of five different central bank rules that you need to be able to pass before they'll even consider you for a mortgage. And if you're not passing any of these, then it's really a waste of time. So to run through them quickly, the first one is your loan-to-value. So in other words, if you're a first-time buyer, the maximum loan-to-value you can get is 90%. In other words, you have to come up with 10% of the value of the house. Yeah. So again, you're buying for 200,000, you need to have savings of 20,000 or a gift of 20,000 plus legal fees and other associated fees on top of it. So that's number one. The second thing is your loan to income. So basically your multiples. So the rule of thumb there is 3.5 times. Again, you will get exceptions, or some people may be able to get exceptions, but I would say stick to the 3.5 times. So if you're on 100,000 between yourself and your partner or whatever it may be, 3.5 times that is 350,000. You're generally not going to get any more than that. So I don't think you're going to get 450 really. As I said, there are exceptions, but I would kind of stick to the 3.5 times rule. Then they will look at things like your income and your net income. So, and what you're spending your money on. So if your net income is $3,000 a month, that means you can afford a mortgage repayment of X amount. And that's a calculation, again, that your bank can do or your local broker will do. And then they will look at what's called your minimum disposable income requirement. That's number four. What that means is that after you've paid the mortgage, what minimum level of income do you require just to survive? So, and then the last thing then, which is almost as important as your loan to value and your loan to income, is your proven repayment ability. But that means that if your new mortgage is going to cost you €1,000 a month, you need to prove that you can actually pay it €1,000 a month. How do you do that? Maybe you've built up savings where you're saving €1,000 a month. Maybe you're paying rent of 800 and saving €300 a month. So you're proving to the bank, to the lender, that you can actually make these repayments. An awful lot of times we get questions in relation to property values and all that kind of stuff. So we might have someone come in and say, listen, I've land worth 500,000. Doesn't really matter. What you have to do is you have to prove to the bank that if they give you this money, you're not going to default in it. You're going to be able to repay it. So it's all about repayment ability. It's not really about asset values.
Is there anything else, Tommy, that a bank looks for in a mortgage application that people need to be aware of?
Yeah, so those five things are the very first step. So that's like a calculator that we'd go through. If you're not passing that, we need to go back to the drawing board and see, you know, is there a way around it? After that, then once you've those initial steps passed, they will look into your finances in great detail. What I mean by that is they will look for your bank statements, and that's every bank account you have. So you may have a savings account or another current account that you use once every 3 months. It doesn't matter. You need to disclose all bank accounts to them. And they will go through all your bank accounts in fine detail. I mean, line by line. So things like gambling is a big no-no. So if you have a Paddy Power or Boyle Sports account.
No surprise there, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. They don't like to see it. Yeah. And I've seen applications turned down in because of people's gambling habits, okay? Other things like, you know, bounce direct debits, maybe going into overdraft when they don't have an overdraft facility, so you have, you know, irregular account charges on their current accounts. They're all, I suppose, red warning lights from a bank's point of view, and they don't like to see it. So again, one of our jobs often is when clients come in, is to tidy up their affairs, basically. Say, listen, you need to tidy up this. You don't have an overdraft. You need to get an overdraft because you might be going into it once or twice a month, and that is attracting kind of irregular account charges, which isn't a thing that the bank wants to see. Okay. What else? I suppose if you're paying rent, that it needs to be paid by direct debit, really, that you have to have a record of it. So if you're paying rent in cash, it's no good, really. You know, even if you have a rent book and stuff like that, they want to see that you are, they want to see evidence of it going out of your account. Things like loans, make sure all your loans are fully paid up to date. If you have bad credit history, you know, you need to talk to someone about that. If it's over 5 years, it should be okay. But if it's within 5 years, the bank may have an issue with it. Again, depending on the circumstances, it could be a revoked credit card, it could be missed mortgage payments, it could be missed car loan payments. So they're big. They're a pretty big issue when it comes to getting a mortgage. Sometimes you will get around it. It could be, you know, because you've changed jobs in the meantime, and this, or there could be a very genuine reason for you having missed repayments on loans and that kind of thing. So everyone, you know, everyone's circumstance is different, and every bank will look at it differently as well. Other things like your savings, it's very good to have a regular savings plan. In other words, save your €500 a month rather than kind of willy-nilly 200 one month and 800 the next. Now, it doesn't really matter, but it's nicer to have a tidy.
Because it shows consistency.
Yeah, shows consistency, basically. Will they accept a gift? Yes, they will. So, for instance, if you have, if you're lucky enough to have maybe a parent that'll gift you the deposit on the account, they will accept that. However, you still need to prove that you can do that repayment. So if you haven't been saving and you haven't been paying rent and you get the gift off bank of mum or dad, it's not going to be good enough. You need to prove to them for at least 6 months that you're able to meet the repayments on the mortgage that you're looking for, basically. So,
you mentioned rent there, Tommy. Yeah. If somebody has been renting before, I presume that's the obvious step before buying a house, will a bank that you're looking to get a mortgage from, will they take the rental payments that you've been making into account? You know, it's been steady, consistent payments of the same amount of money over a period of time.
Yeah, same savings, yeah. So that's a proven repayment capacity, you know what I mean? So if you're renting for €1,000 a month and your new mortgage is going to cost you 900, you're proving to the bank that you can make that €1,000 a month for the last 12 months, maybe 2 years or however long you're renting for. So that proves your repayment ability. So yeah, absolutely, they will take rent into account. What else? Then just to be aware of other costs. So when you do go for a mortgage, you're going to have your legal expenses. I'm sure William talked about those yesterday. You'll have things like when you go and look at a property and you decide on the property and your bid is accepted, the bank will look for a valuation on the property, and that'll cost anywhere between 150 to 250 euro. Stamp duty, again, it's 1%, so just take all those things into account. So I suppose what's important there is that you may have the 10% saved, or you may have getting a gift of it or whatever. You need actually a little bit more than that. You probably need maybe 4,000 or 5,000 on top of that to meet your various expenses, like your legal, maybe your brokerage fee, your valuation fee, stamp duty, that kind of thing. What else is there?
In terms of estimating how much you can borrow, is it just as simple as how much, if you're in a couple, how much do myself and my husband, wife, partner earn, combine that, and we know it's 3.5 times that?
Yeah, that's, I suppose, number one. But then they will also take into account if you're paying other loans. So, for instance, if your net pay is €3,000 a month and you have two car loans of €500 each, that's €1,000 that you're spending on those cars that you won't have available to pay for a mortgage. So they will take those kind of things into account. So it's not just as simple as 3.5 times and we're home and dry. They will look at it's kind of an overall picture of your finances and other repayments that you may be making, that kind of thing. So what happens then? You go to your bank or you go to your broker, you get an approval in principle, and that's basically the bank saying, or a bank saying, yeah, we're happy enough in principle to give you the mortgage, you know what I mean? And you're kind of, you're 90% of the way there. So what could scupper it if the valuation doesn't come in like it should come in or something like that? So but generally speaking, once you have an approval in principle, you're kind of you're 90% of the way.
Yeah. And can people get a mortgage, you know, or can they even apply for a mortgage if you don't actually have a house or a property in mind or one lined up?
And in fairness, most auctioneers will insist that you have mortgage approval before they'll even take a booking deposit off you or a bid. Okay. So what you would do there is you may even make up an address, number 4 St Francis Street, Ennis, or whatever, you know, and you know you'd put those in. You will not be asked for a valuation or anything like that until you actually get an approval in principle. So you might get an approval in principle to buy number 4 St Francis Street, Ennis, for 250,000. You now know that you can get a mortgage of up to 250,000. So you now can go to your local auctioneer or whatever and talk to them in relation to bidding on a house or putting down a booking deposit.
And the making up of an address doesn't matter?
No, it doesn't, because all you're doing then is you go back to the bank then and you say, well, actually it was number 53 Woodhaven or whatever it might be, you know what I mean? So, and there's no issue there. And then it's at that stage then that they will look for the valuation. So that's when you have your actual property picked out and are ready to go. That's kind of the end stage of it, really, you know?
Okay, in terms of the length of a mortgage, I suppose, are the standard ones 25, 30 years or thereabout? I mean, how long a mortgage term can a person apply for?
Yeah, so the maximum term is 35 years, and it depends on your age, and it depends on the bank. So a lot of banks will not go past age 65. So if you're 45 and you go to a bank, you might only get a mortgage term of 20 years. Again, some banks will their standard end of term would be age 65, but maybe if you have a pension, they may extend it to 70. So different banks will have different rules, but generally speaking, a 65 or 70 is the maximum. And then depending on your age, then the maximum term you'll get is 35 years. If you can shorten it, great. That there are huge savings to be made by maybe overpaying the mortgage and bringing down the term if you can at all. But sometimes, if the calculation and the calculators are there, the bank will insist on a longer term so that you fit the calculator, so you're not putting yourself under pressure. But that doesn't stop you from making or overpaying the mortgage on a monthly basis. So even though you may start off with a 35-year term, by overpaying, you might bring it down to 30 or 25 years.
There's no issue with that. That if you have a 30 or 35 year mortgage, and then, you know, with 10 years to go, you suddenly got a better job, a much better job, a big pay rise, and you think, right, I want to try and sort this mortgage out sooner.
Yeah,
that's no issue for the bank.
Yeah, we'd come across it quite often where a couple might come in, they might want a 25 year mortgage, but because the calculator would say that they're putting themselves under too much pressure, they may insist on a 30 or 35 year mortgage.
Okay.
But there's nothing to stop that couple overpaying that mortgage on a monthly basis to bring down the term to 25 years anyway.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? So yeah, there's ways and means around it. Yeah.
In terms, Tommy, of who you go to get your mortgage, if I'm a customer and I've been a long time customer of Bank A, can I still go to Bank B or Bank C and get my mortgage from them? There's no issues there.
The fact
that you haven't been banking with them before.
No issues, and there's no real advantage to going to your own bank. You know, they may have the best rates in the market, but the likelihood is they don't. They can't always have the best rates in the market. Every bank will have a very good rate, be it a variable rate or a 3-year fix or a 5-year fix or whatever it may be. So where most people, and I think the statistics bear this out, is that most people actually do go to their own bank first, and that may not always be the best idea. So I would say if you can, go and talk to someone that's independent, and they will look at your circumstances and say, listen, Bank A is great, but Bank B would probably be more suited to what you want.
Okay, and if you are banking with Bank A, can it happen that whatever their mortgage rates are, that because you're a long time customer with them and you've a great track record, can they be manoeuvrable in terms of what they can offer you mortgage?
No.
So this is not an option.
Not anymore. Used to be the case that some, way back when, Bank A would match Bank B's rates, that kind of thing. No, their rates are their rates, really, and that's it. What you should be looking out for is loan to value and that kind of thing. If you have an existing mortgage and you're on a variable rate, you may get a better rate if your house has gone up in value and your mortgage has come down in terms of amounts and that kind of thing. So that's really for people just reviewing their own existing mortgage rather than new or first-time buyers.
Okay, and it was something I chatted about yesterday, William Carr, talking about being a first-time buyer myself, that it feels like you have to give up so much in information in terms of if you're applying for a mortgage from a bank. You feel, it felt sometimes like you're handing over your life story, your unpublished autobiography.
Oh, yeah.
And what documents do you need? And I know there are a lot of them that you need to give to present to the bank when you're applying for a mortgage as a first-time buyer.
Yeah, absolutely. So you need all your bank statements, number one. If you have a credit card, they'll look for those. If you have any loans, they'll look for 12 months of that. They will look for your employment records, in other words, pay slips, an employment certificate stating what your salary is, whether you get bonuses, all that kind of stuff. They're the normal ones. If you're self-employed, it can be a little bit trickier. They may look for 2 or 3 year sets of accounts if you're self-employed. The usual P60s or end of year statements is what they're called now. They will look for everything. And again, you may as well disclose everything from the start, because if you have a bank account, as I said, that you may not be using a whole pile, it'll still show up, and you may be 40% through the application. You go, hold on a minute, there's a bank account here that you never gave us. Would you go back and get us? And it just delays the whole process. So if you can gather up all the information in one go, you're better off.
Okay. If someone is self-employed, how does that change the process, or does it change it to any great degree when you're applying for a mortgage?
Yeah, it can do. So for instance, if you're newly self-employed, sometimes the bank will insist on 2 year sets of accounts. So for instance, if you decide I'm going to go self-employed from the 1st of January 2022, the likelihood is it's going to be 2024 before you'll be able to apply for a mortgage, because you're going to have to go through all of 2022, 2023, produce 2 sets of accounts that would be returned to the taxman, etc. So you're looking at a two-year time frame before you'll be able to apply. So it can have that kind of effect on it. Some banks will look at maybe 1 year's sets of accounts. Really depends on the industry you're in. And again, some people are on contracts, so they're on short or long term contracts. And again, that will have an effect as to whether the bank is happy enough to accept a contract as a steady income compared to, we'll say, someone that has the same job for the last 5 years or whatever, you know. So different people have different financial things going on. So, as I said, different banks will suit them depending on the circumstances.
Okay, just before we finish, you mentioned earlier, and you know, obviously you have great perspective on the point of view of the broker, that you'd be fairly busy at this time of year with people coming to you looking for advice as they prepare to apply for a mortgage. Why should people go to a broker? What other reasons are there aside from the sound advice, no doubt, that you give them?
Yeah, and I suppose, listen, we're just speaking from our point of view, we're in the business, I suppose, the last 17 or 18 years. We've been dealing with people in relation to mortgages, you know, all that time. So we have an idea as to what will work and what doesn't work. And we're not trying to hoodwink any banks or anything like that. But what we're trying to do is we're trying to, you know, put an application in as best a light as possible when we go to present the bank. That's number one. Number two is we have an awful lot of people that come in and they think they can't get a mortgage, and next thing you turn around, well, actually, your bank may have declined you, but there's a bank over here that will be happier to take you on because you're on contract or whatever, like we said. So, and thirdly, and you know, I suppose this is the biggest thing, you know, you can do all this work yourself, but unless you have the expertise, and you know, should you go for a fixed rate, should you go for a variable rate, who has the best rates for 5-year fixed? There's great 10-year fixed now at the moment. We're seeing a huge uptake in 10-year fixed for under 3%. And when you see what things have gone on in America, and that in relation to interest rates rising, we could be coming into an era of interest rate increases where we've had no increases in the last 10 years, really. So I think independent advice, I've always said it here, is the best way to go. And go to someone that deals with the various banks or all the banks on the Irish market, because, you know, you don't know what deals each bank is getting. And, you know, just because your own bank is giving you a good deal, it doesn't mean it's the best deal on the market.
Okay, and do a lot of brokers there, they're obviously all filled in on what every bank is offering, I guess.
They would do, yeah. We'd have a system there, and we can pull up whatever rates every bank is out. You know, now, having said that, the number of banks in the Irish market has decreased, you know, so, you know, unfortunately, the competition isn't what it should be.
Okay, we have to leave it there, but great advice as ever, Tommy. And I can tell you, when you're going for a mortgage, applying for a mortgage, particularly as a first-time buyer, you can never get too much advice.
Yeah.
That is for sure. Tommy Corbett of Kerry Corbett Financial Solutions, great to see you.
Thanks, Alan.
I look forward to seeing you more.